I'm going to call the House Labor and Commerce Committee to order for Friday, January 27th, 2017. Around the table here, we have Representative Sullivan Leonard, Representative Stutes, Vice Chair Wool, Representative Birch, Representative Josephson, and myself, Chair Kito. And today we are continuing our hearing that started on Wednesday discussing residential building codes. And we do have a presentation, and then we are going to open it up for public testimony, and we'll see where we end up after that. So before I get started, I'd like to recognize our recording secretary, Caitlin Ellis, over here on my right, and on the left, our bridge operator, Kelsey. And I think we are about ready to go. So without any other comments from the committee, we'll go ahead and bring Max Milkey up with Brad Austin. Go ahead and come up, put your names on the record, and begin your presentations.
A little bit about myself through the chair. My name is Max Milkey. I'm a 42-year member of the United Association of Plumbers and Pipe Fitters. I was born and raised in Juneau, Alaska. I worked all over the state, all the way from Prudhoe Bay down to Ketchikan. And, go ahead, Brad.
Okay. My name's Brad Austin, and I'm the training coordinator instructor for the Plumbers and Pipe Fitters Local 262 here in Juneau.
And the reason I brought Brad up to the chair is he's our code expert. He teaches code classes. He knows the codes inside and out. He's done a lot of study on international codes, and so he's if you do have any questions, he'd be the man to ask. And I may refer to him through the chair at time to time. So this presentation is fairly short. Just want to state that we do not oppose, in general, the idea of adoption of the International Residential Code. In fact, we would support any, if we could help out with getting that thing through, if that's what the committee decides to do, we'd be more than happy to help you. But we would only have one issue with that, and that is that the in that code, we would like to carve out the part in international residential code that on the plumbing portion of it, because we already we're under the UPC in the state. We've been under the UPC, Uniform Plumbing Code, for, near as we can tell, for over 40-some years or longer, So that's when the licensing provision came, I believe, in 1972. So we're very familiar with the code. We teach the code, like I say. I'm a little nervous, but I'll get by that. First time testifying this year, so... these codes work very well for the construction industry that they cover. There's also the licensing provisions under that code, which is the certificate of fitness administered to the state of Alaska. And like I said, that's been enacted since 1972. The Uniform Plumbing Code has probably been around a lot longer than that. So the state has been using that code all this time. But there are some gaps in the state of Alaska regarding building codes, and if you guys have any questions at all through this presentation, feel free to ask at any time, and we'll try to answer them for you the best we know how, and if we can't get the answer, we'll find out for you. So, right now there's over 6,000 licensed plumbers and electricians in the state of Alaska with a certificate of fitness. There's 1,500 mechanical administrators, electrical and mechanical administrators in the state of Alaska that supervising the work performed using the existing codes, by our members or other members of the state that are licensed. It is important that we have licensed plumbers to ensure plumbing systems are installed correctly. As an example, we get calls all the time. Our contractors are continuously going behind, sometimes weekly, sometimes daily. We hear these stories about unlicensed people out there putting in plumbing or electrical systems. And we have to actually go back in there and repair those systems. This happens quite frequently, so it's very important that you have a licensed, well-trained technician or whatever you speak to go in and do this work. So, we believe that the Uniform Plumbing Code and the National Electric Code are the most up-to-date, these most up-to-date technology and safety provisions anywhere in the world. They actually are under ANSI standards, which is ANSI, bad with the answer, that's from the
Alaska National Standards or American
Institute,
National Standards Institute.
And which I codes are not under that. It's for public safety and health issues, you know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, for even for mechanical systems, you don't want unlicensed people putting in these mechanical or plumbing or electrical systems that don't know what you're doing, and so that would be our concern on that. Could cause confusion, you know, if we were to adopt a code with the international residential code without the licensing provisions in there with the uniform plumbing code or the national electric code in there, which we're all trained in the state of Alaska to perform that work under those licenses. So could weaken local hire issues. You could basically have anybody coming in from outside with no licenses and doing this work, you know, so there's a local hire thing that we, you know, we, like I said, most of the people in the state here, you have to have those Alaska certificate of fitnesses to do it, to perform that work in the state, both on the electrical side and the on the plumbing side of things. So at this time, I guess I would turn this over to Brad Austin, our training coordinator, plumbing instructor, if you guys have any code questions for him.
All right. Thank you, Max. And Brad, if you can put your name on the record.
Brad Austin.
And identify your position or representation.
Oh, okay. I'm the training coordinator for the Plumbers and Pipefitters Local 262 here in Juneau. And I guess I'd just like to add a little bit on the licensing. In order to qualify for a plumbing license and electrical license too, you have to have a State of Alaska trainee card for 8,000 hours. And then at 8,000 hours, you're allowed to sit for the state plumbing test or electrical test. And then once you get your certificate of fitness, is what they call the plumbing license, then you can go out and work for hire. If you're a homeowner, you can do the plumbing in your house, but you can't do it for hire. Pretty much the same for the electricians. They have trainees. And then the mechanical administrator, electrical administrator, which is through Commerce, you have to have an administrator license in order to have a business to perform that work. So, and they're all tied into our existing codes.
Okay, and is that all you had? We've got some questions. Representative Birch?
Through the chair, could you remind me how it works for, say, a publicly funded, you know, school construction project in an area that's outside of, you know, the Juneau or Anchorage or an organized municipality with their own code compliance capacity. I've got, you know, fire marshal and the, you know, I remember Adele Michelle, she used to always, she did a lot of inspection work, but maybe you could just, I was curious as to what the current status is for monitoring, if you will, publicly funded construction versus private construction in rural communities.
Through the chair, I would, the fire marshal is going to get involved with plan review on a lot of aspects of it. Mm-hmm. There'll be specifications in the plan documents that will require licensing. Mechanical contractors, I'll speak for plumbing, mechanical contractors, they have to show, prove their licensing. The state or the cities will usually have owner representatives that will follow up and watch that. And usually there'll be engineering inspections. If it's outside a municipality, say it's in Hoonah or something, they will usually use the architects and engineers as their final inspectors for the jobs. Yeah.
Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions, Representative Wohl?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, I'd like to, Mr. Mielke, earlier you said that you don't oppose the implementation of the IBC codes.
That would be the International Residential
Building. IRC, yeah.
Right. Sorry about that.
No, that's fine. But that you would want to carve out the portion that...
Well, that would be the electrical and the plumbing portion of it. Well, plumbing for us, of course. I've talked to the IBEW the last couple of days about this. They feel the same way we do, and I'm sure that they're probably going to be on the phone today. That we would carve those two sections out because there's no licensing provision under the IRC, International Residential Code. So what we would like to see is insert, you know, the one that we're using now, the Uniform Plumbing Code, you know, into that. So that's all we would ask. And we'd be more than happy to help any way we could.
Okay, and I've got a question. I think it's for Brian, but my question is in regard to municipalities that actually adopt their own building codes and adopt maybe a residential code. Do all the municipalities that adopt a code for residential construction utilize the uniform building code component or the uniform plumbing code components?
Chairman, yes, they do. Anchorage, they adopt the codes through a Title 23, I think it is, and they specifically state in there that any reference to the International Plumbing Code or any of the codes that we have, like the electric code, they reference the Uniform Plumbing Code. The adoption of the International Building Code by the Department of Public Safety, they actually reference the statute that adopts the Uniform Plumbing Code. So that it's pretty standard that that's done that way.
And that's the case for residential codes that are adopted by municipalities?
Yes, yeah. And the plumbing code, the Uniform Plumbing Code, is not just a residential, it's not just a commercial code. It covers all plumbing.
So, and just another question from myself. Thinking about the 6,000 licensed plumbers in Alaska, are those plumbers unable to construct a facility in accordance with the International Residential Code?
Well, so of the 6,000, I think about 1,200 of those are actually plumbers. The rest of them are electricians. That would be a good question. We're licensed under the Uniform Plumbing Code. Every statute and regulation that licenses us refers to the Uniform Plumbing Code. I don't know how that would work if we had an international plumbing code mixed in there with it, and it is considerably different. There are a lot of differences between the two codes, especially when it comes to drainage and venting. I've compared them. I haven't done a really close comparison in a while.
Through the chair,
Max, for the record, Ed, you're just
this is Max Mielke again, through the chair. The international codes, I mean, just looking at them, the International Residential Plumbing Code or whatever is quite a bit less stringent code. It's doesn't meet the same standards, and we don't believe, as the Uniform Plumbing Code would. Brad could probably answer those questions more than I could, but, you know, we've done quite a bit of studies on this, and there's quite a bit of differences in the two codes.
So are you, I mean, you're saying that the international code is not as stringent as the uniform code?
No, I said
does that mean it's not as safe as the uniform code?
This would be the plumbing portion of it, not the, you know, the residential code in itself, which would be a good thing, you know.
So I guess the question still is that are you saying that constructing to the International Residential Code plumbing component will make the house less safe than constructing it to a uniform code standard?
There are some safety issues involved with that. Air admittance valves, which fail sometimes. They're not vented out to the atmosphere. They're vented actually inside the house. And there are some other issues. Brad probably could answer that better than I could. But there are some concerns that we would have, you know, with that code. So,
okay. Representative Justin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair, for Mr. Mielke or Mr. Austin, should we be concerned, that is, this body and the legislature as a whole, that if we adopt the IRC with the fixes you recommend, that other specialties might also have the quality reduced? I mean, the plan here obviously is to improve quality, not reduce quality. And you're suggesting that the current system for your trades is the more worthy system. I mean, I'm not saying you knock whoever wrote the IRC, but that's the vibe I'm getting from you. Should we be concerned about the carpenters and the the sheetrockers and any other specialty?
Can I go ahead through the chair? I don't think the building part of it is an issue. Juneau has been building using the IRC for quite a while, and I think we do some pretty nice homes here. But there are a lot of differences in the plumbing. I can't speak to the electrical. I'm not an electrician. A code is not a set of instructions that just a layperson can pick up. It's very trade specific, and so, but I have enough concerns with the differences between the Uniform Plumbing Code and the what would be in the International Residential Code for plumbing that I would like to see it, if it's adopted, to do it the same way we did the International Building Code, which the state has been on for quite a while. There's also in the IRC, there's also mechanical systems, sheet metal, ductwork, things like that. The state already adopts the International Mechanical Code, so we know that also works. But we're very familiar with the Uniform Plumbing Code in Alaska, so we would just like to see that. And I should add that it's not just the Uniform Plumbing Code. Adopted along with the Uniform Plumbing Code is the Uniform Swimming Pool, Spa, and Hot Tub Code. The solar energy code for solar panels for heating water, that's another code that's adopted along with the plumbing code. And there's probably fuel oil is another chapter, which is NFPA 31. It's another different code. So it's kind of a spider web when you start digging into the IRC. It kind of is a fits-all, and it's a great document, I think, for the building side. But for the specialties, I think we should look at it, carving those specialties out and referring them back to the departments that use them and leaving that licensing and testing so we don't have to change any of that. Anyway, but thanks.
Any other questions? I've got Representative Wolf.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair to either you gentlemen, we heard testimony the other last meeting about different jurisdictions have different code enforcement requirements. It sounds like in your trade, you build to the or you plumb to the same code no matter where you are. Mm-hmm. And maybe it was a question that Representative Birch posed about building in, say, Mat-Su as opposed to building in Anchorage with different codes, they could do things differently and maybe build for less expense. Your industry, that wouldn't really be the case. You guys just know one way to do it, and that's how you do it. Is that right?
Through the chair, yeah, that's a pretty good plumbing using the Uniform Plumbing Code is efficient, it's fast. I think codes don't really take into account what it costs, but the Uniform Plumbing Code it's right at the front of technology, so it's allowing plastic water pipes, which are cost savings, and they update them every 3 years like any code, and everything is technologically advanced in the codes.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. If we have any other questions, we might bring you back up. I think we're going to go ahead and move on to public testimony. So I'm going to go ahead and open public testimony.
I want to say thank you very much for letting us testify. It was a privilege.
Max, thank you, Brad. And then we do have people at Matsu LIO, Fairbanks LIO, and OffNet. I think what we'll do is the Fairbanks LIO individuals have been on for the longest in waiting. If you could try and keep your comments to 2 minutes, that would be appreciated, and we'd be able to get through the list of people we have to testify. So as I call people, go ahead and come up to the microphone, place your name and affiliation for the record, and begin your testimony. In the Fairbanks LIO, is there a Wendell Whistler available? Okay, Mr. Whistler, can you hear us?
Yes, sir, I can.
Okay, go ahead and put your name and affiliation on the record and start your testimony.
Wendell Whistler, Alaska Joint Electrical Apprenticeship Training Trust, and I am the training coordinator at the Cornpine Training Center in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Okay, and go ahead and start your testimony.
I would like to say that I represent the electrical industry. I sit as a principal member of Code Panel 4 on the National Electrical Code. It is an international code series. Previously, I sat for 6 years as a principal on Code Panel 3, representing wiring methods and materials. The international codes are a weakening of the electrical codes. And here in Fairbanks, we have a lot of unique geographic issues, such as head bolt heaters and other kinds of heat that is done by electricity. And we have local amendments in Fairbanks when you're inside the city limits that are a strengthening over and above even the National Electrical Code. So I am opposed to adopting the International Residential Code for the electrical portion. It's basically a weakening of the infrastructure. And if you buy a home or do a building and your infrastructure is weak, then you don't have the ability to expand, modify without major reconstruction. And so I would implore you to maintain the National Electrical Code as the standard. As Mr. Milkey testified, the licensing provisions and all of the statutes that go with it reference the National Electrical Code. Its official publication is NFPA 70, followed by the date. We're presently on the 2014. The 2017 has come to press, and you folks will hopefully be looking at that next to adopt that. That's my testimony.
Okay, thank you. Right at 2 minutes. That was pretty good. Any questions from the committee for Mr. Whistler? No questions. We'll move on, still in the Fairbanks LIO, to John Plutt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. John, my name is John Plutt. I am the training director with the Fairbanks Area Plumbers and Pipefitters Apprenticeship and Journeyman Training Center. And I appreciate the opportunity to speak on this important issue regarding these codes. Plumbers and Pipefitters Local 375 has been training our members on the Uniform Plumbing Code since its adoption in the state of Alaska. Currently we have in the interior here approximately 300 journeyman members that hold a state plumbing license, and another approximately 90 apprentices that will attain that license after their five-year apprenticeship. One thing about this plumbing code and what we do is train through the Uniform Plumbing Code. I believe in my mind it is a superior code. It's a good code. And when you start going through any other code, especially the I codes, it is clearly a weakening of the codes. To couple with that, our training has to be approved by the state of Alaska as well. All of our licensed licensed plumbers must have 16 hours of training every 2 years, and it's a cost of $100 a year. So there's a revenue stream for the state, but more important, those plumbers are getting up-to-date training on all the new technologies and new code changes so they can put their work in correctly. The I-codes, I don't know, I'm not that familiar with them, but I have worked around them, and they are clearly less stringent of a code. And up here in the interior, where we have a little bit colder weather than you guys do in Juneau, there's with frost closure and such like that. In the city, for example, we take the uniform plumbing code and even go one step further, because frost closure does have it is an issue with drainage. So, to kind of wrap up, I am not in favor of any other code to take place of the uniform plumbing code, both for those reasons, not only the cost that it would cost to transition to something like that, but we would all the training centers, including us, would have to change their training. And with in the interior, 400 members, 400 plumbers, I'm in agreement to keep the code where we're at, the uniform plumbing code, with any plumbing work. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Plute. Any questions from the committee? Looks like not, so we will stay at the Fairbanks LIO and go to Walter Robinson. Mr. Robinson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Walter Robinson. I am a business rep with the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers in Fairbanks. I'm here to testify on the behalf of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, 1547 here in Alaska, and also as a concerned citizen. I have 16 years of experience in the electrical industry here in Alaska and hold a current Alaska Electrical Fitness card. I am here today to testify on the use of the International Resident Code standards. I'm not opposed to the use of this code, but with that said, the state needs to assure that the National Electrical Code, NEC, still remains the standard for electrical work installed in residential homes. The NEC is the minimum standard that is in Alaska for electrical work. This is what the electrical workforce is trained and tested on to perform this work. In the electrical industry, the NEC is the standard that is followed throughout the nation as a minimum standard to install electrical work. In Alaska, electrical fires are one of the leading causes of home fires. Last year, 17 fire fatalities occurred in Alaska. This was a 42% over the previous year. I feel it would not be wise or ethical to lower the standards in our state to which electrical work is installed in the residential construction market. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Robinson. Any questions for Mr. Robinson? It's not looking like it. We'll move on to Doug Tansey in Fairbanks LIO, our last person in Fairbanks, and then we'll move on. Mr. Tansey?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Doug Tansey, business representative for the IBW Local 1547, Alaska Electrical Administrator 1757. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. I have the unfortunate spot of coming after two of my counterparts here that have already stated quite a bit of what I've got to go off of. I am also testifying in favor of keeping the NEC as the standard for home building here in Alaska for many of the same reasons. I would also add my two cents in there that I would actually like to see a little more oversight and inspection from the state of Alaska to ensure that homes are being built to those standards so we can avoid having homes burnt down and fatalities from that. As electrical administrator, I do oversee work. I have the ability to contract, and that goes along those lines. I just would want us to continue to strive to go towards the highest standards that are out there for the safety of the community, safety of our families, and for the long-term investments of such a expensive part of a homeowner's life. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Ertanzi. It looks like we may have a question for you, Representative Wohl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Tansey, and I'm trying to glean from what you said in the previous testifier, but you guys want to maintain the NEC codes, and does that mean, is it similar with the gentleman from the plumbers and pipe fitters, that they overall support the international building code as long as they carve out their trade and keep the codes that they're currently using? Am I saying that correctly?
Through the chair, yes, Representative Wool, that would be a very good paraphrase of exactly what we're looking for. The residential code itself sounds fine as long as we are not doing anything to weaken the electrical standards, and I'm sure from what I've heard from the other folks, the plumbing standards. We want to be able to work and maintain the highest standards possible. The NEC was created as a safety provision for the safe installation of electrical work. The residential code is a weakening of that standard. And so additional code sounds fine for us as long as we are not changing and lowering the NEC to the residential code.
Follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, so again, I'm using the plumbers as an example, but they said that the international code was less stringent and I hope I'm paraphrasing correctly. They're all nodding yes. So it's less stringent, and the same for the electrical codes. So the international code isn't something that you would want to adopt on a statewide basis, but maybe for building, and I don't know if we're going to hear from some builders, but the people that represent the trades are kind of saying they support it, but not for their trade. So you guys are more stringent than the international codes. The NEC codes are more stringent. That's how you're trained, and that's how you want to continue to work, correct?
That is correct, Representative Wall. I don't know how the residential code would impact or affect outside of the electrical, and just from my conversation with the professionals from the plumbers and pipe fitters, I understand they'd have the same issue as we do with the electrical trade. Outside of those two, I'm not sure how that would affect any other craft, but we want to maintain the NEC because we not only know it, we also know the residential code, and we know that the higher level standard is going to be with the NEC, and licensing requirements is what we go by for the state of Alaska is with the NEC testing.
Okay, thank you. And we've got a question from Representative Birch.
Yes, through the chair. I guess I understood that this was kind of a method to introduce some structure and some code guidelines in areas that currently have no GOAT guidelines. And I guess I'm just, you know, I'm trying to understand the, you know, kind of the, you know, certainly the cost differential, and you know, we have locations in the state where there's not a lot of structure, and I guess I thought this was, I saw this as a kind of intermediate step, if you will, to at least provide some structure for, you know, Alaska House Financing and other organizations that build building homes in rural Alaska. So I guess I'm trying to understand, you know, it seems like half a loaf is maybe better than no loaf, and I'm just trying to understand, you know, kind of the perspective you have from that angle, if you will.
Well, the state of Alaska does have structure for all building, and that is through licensing requirements, whether it's the electrical certificate of fitness or electrical administrator's license to do contract work and to oversee the work. My understanding is that maybe for other parts of the home building industry may not have any structure, but there already is structure in place through the Universal Plumbing Code as well as the National Electrical Code. I'm sorry, Uniform Plumbing Code, as well as the National Electrical Code for all construction here in Alaska, and that is maintained with testing requirements and licensing through the state.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Tansey. I don't see any other questions. Thank you for your testimony. And we will be moving on to the Matt Sue LIO, and I've got Waylon Knudsen.
Hello?
Mr. Knudsen, can you put your name on the record and begin your testimony?
My name is Waylon Knudsen. I'm a licensed electrician in the state of Alaska. I've been working in the industry for the last 17 years in the state of Alaska. I also hold fire alarm and life safety licenses in the state of Alaska. I currently am required to have 16 hours of continuing education to maintain my license based on the National Electrical Code. I also am required to have 16 hours of continuing education to maintain my fire alarm safety licenses. These are all are based off the national codes and not international codes. There are a lot of safety things that are different from the international and national electrical codes. I do have some issues with their swimming pool and alternative codes, alternative energy codes, as well as their fire alarm codes, as well as voltages are different in other countries, as well, and they're fairly standard across the country, in our country. The current codes and area standards are what ensure safe installations and are specific to electrical work nationally and locally. State building codes apply statewide. Some local municipalities and boroughs adopt local specific codes and standards, but that's at their prerogative. I am against adopting international codes for electrical specifically. I believe that it'll reduce the quality of installations in the state of Alaska. I think that it'll open the door for unlicensed electricians performing unsafe installations in the state. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Knutson. Do we have any questions from members of the committee? Not looking like we have any questions, so thank you for your testimony. We are going to go off-net now, and we will start with Patrick Dalton from Delta Junction. Mr. Dalton, can you put your name and affiliation on the record?
Name is Patrick Dalton. I live in Delta Junction. I'm representing myself, but I am a builder of sorts. I'd like to zoom the focus out for a moment for a bigger scale. For the sake of making the point, let's rename this topic, Imposing a Uniform Building System Upon Unorganized and Unrepresented Areas of Alaska. In reality, any statewide system is going to do exactly this. If you bear with me for a minute, I do wish to propose a way that you can accomplish what you're after, but in a way that's acceptable to us in the unorganized areas. But first, organized areas already have or are certainly able to establish building codes according to the list that they're in constituents. This is the way it should be. And if it is not broken, please don't fix it. Second, I'd like to point out, I would request by the chair, say, or of the legislature there, the committee, if you would conduct a quick poll of all those present today that are in favor of a statewide system, you'll probably find that they are predominantly, if not unanimously, people from organized areas. So what I'm saying is the deck is stacked against us in unorganized areas. Third, I'd like to point out that according to Alaska Constitution, the legislature does indeed act as the borough assembly for us in the unorganized areas. So therefore, I'd like to point out that it is at least morally incumbent upon you to put aside the wishes and concerns of your own district, your own constituents, and see when you're imposing legislation upon us out in the unorganized area, see what it is that we want and what we need and what works for us. Now, I would suggest the following from my point of view in the unorganized area. Encourage organized areas, certainly, to get on the same page, have uniform systems, but through their own borough assemblies and so forth.
Mr. Dalton, that you've exceeded your 2 minutes. Can you try and wrap up your testimony as quickly as possible?
Certainly will, very quickly. But leave the unorganized areas out of mandatory statewide residential code. And third, and my last point, there is an established voluntary system that exists today. It's an international system that I belong to, or at least many years I do, and it would be a model that you could use to establish a voluntary type of code that would get people to all comply. It would be an incentive for people to get on board to the same residential code. It would be voluntary. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Dalton. Any questions for Mr. Dalton? And I guess I do have one, Mr. Dalton. Thank you for your testimony. Can you explain a little further? You said there's a voluntary code available to people that are building in non-municipal areas. Can you talk about that code, and is there a name of it, something that we can use for reference?
My trade, I'm a log builder, okay? I have a highly skilled trade of log, full-scribe log cabin building. I do this as a product, and I go by something that's called the International Log Building Association and their standards. And it's a voluntary organization. I only join it every several years because it does cost money. But it's a system whereby good log builders will join this organization, pay a little money, and there are established international building codes for log building that are highly detailed and very good. And all those that get certified and carry this card are established with that organization. Now, you could do a statewide similar situation that would make, you know, this builder has his card, you know, he's a four-star builder or a gold-star builder or something like this. And that would be incentive to reputable builders to be certified. And to get certified, he would, you know, jump through the hoops that are necessary to be certified. And this would take the financial burden off of the state of Alaska in this time when we really have to watch what we spend, energy is declining, and so forth. Because implementing a statewide system is out here in this area, just it isn't going to work and can be highly costly, and plus we just don't want it.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Dalton. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Next off net, we have Brandon McGuire from Anchorage. Mr. McGuire, can you put your name and affiliation on the record and begin your testimony?
Yes, my name is Brandon McGuire, and thank you, Chair Quito. I appreciate the opportunity to testify today. I would agree with previous testimonies opposing the move from the UPC code to the international code regarding the plumbing industry.
Excuse me, Mr. McGuire, could you speak up a little bit? I'm having a little difficulty hearing you. So,
is this better?
Yes, that's much better.
Okay, sorry about that. I'll start over again if that's okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Chair Quito. I appreciate the opportunity to testify today in front of the committee. I would agree with previous testimonies opposing the move from the UPC code to the international code regarding the plumbing industry. Now, let me disclose that I am the organizer with UA Local 367 in Anchorage, Alaska, so I do work with Local 367, much like Mr. Milkey and 262, and also Mr. Plute up in 375. But I can tell you this, as the organizer, I have the opportunity to speak with plumbers across the nation, representatives across the nation that deal with plumbing. I can say that I've spoken directly to people in Flint, Michigan, that can tell us firsthand the experience from what happens when you take for granted the health and safety of water and waste systems within the community. Now, what we're talking about is not the same as what happened in Flint, but you can look at the parallels as far as they're wanting to save money, so they make changes. Anyone looking at the two different systems, let's just be honest, if you set the two different code books against each other, one is half as thick as the other. And I think anybody looking at that scenario will tell you it's half as thick because it's not nearly as stringent. You take out the policies in place to keep safety for the citizens, and who in the long run is going to be paying for that? It's going to be the citizens of Alaska. And so, to wrap this up, I will say that I am not in favor of the move from the UPC code to the international code. I do appreciate your time.
And thank you, Mr. McGuire. And that was less than 2 minutes. And so I think for clarification, what we are looking at is actually whether or not the state should adopt a statewide residential building code. Within that residential building code, we're hearing testimony that there's interest in having the plumbing and electrical components of that residential code be assigned to the Uniform Plumbing Code and the National Electrical Code. So that's what we are considering and taking under advisement. So there's no plan for changing the codes that exist already for fourplex and above. So any questions for Mr. McGuire? I'm not seeing any questions, so thank you for your testimony, Mr. McGuire. And at this time, I don't have anybody else signed up to testify, so I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony. Oh, I was going to check if there was anybody else in the room that wants to testify on this issue. And I'm not seeing any hands, so I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony. And with nothing to come before the committee more, I'm going to go ahead and adjourn the January 27th, 2017 Labor and Commerce Committee. We are adjourned at 4:02 p.m., and thank you all for attending.